is from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the sheaf of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read Psalm 113 responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high?
Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth?
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap.
To make them sit with the princes of his people.
He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children.
Praise the Lord.
The second lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the name Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men shall pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman who deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? Hallelujah, you have the word of eternal life. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possession. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come up for a children's message. Good. All right. Well, I brought this with me because if you were here last week, the big kids, the little kids, right? If you were here last week, you maybe recognize this glass. I put it on the altar, but it had something in it, and now it's empty. Do you remember what was in it last week?
Money,
yeah. There was money in here. And do you remember where the money came from?
Mason and Gavin.
Yeah, the Edwards boys, right? We found out a big surprise. All summer, they've been doing some lemonade stand. In other words, they set up a business. They were practicing business, or they were doing business practices, right? And so they made lemonade, they sold lemonade, and people put money in the container. And did they make all this money for themselves? No? You mean we don't operate a business just to make money for ourselves? No. In fact, every bit they got, I mean, I don't know, but I'm guessing. I should probably ask Mom. Did they take money out of here to buy the lemonade? They even paid for the lemonade? Mom paid for the lemonade, right? So everything that went into the cup is going where? It's going to the church for the building fund, right? To get some land to build a house for the Lord where we can worship him and serve him, right? Glorify his name. I thought this was interesting. They started a business this summer, and we hear in our gospel for tonight about a business too, where somebody that was giving somebody else the business, sometimes we say, mind your own business, right? Or that's not your business, right? Or you have no business being here. We use that word a lot, but let me ask you a question. If I wanted to have a Dilly Bar, a Peanut Buster Parfait, a Blizzard, what business would I go to?
Culver's or Dairy Queen?
Yeah, probably Culver's or Dairy Queen, right? Yeah. If I wanted to buy some new clothes or get a new pair of shoes, where would I go? What business?
Target,
Old Navy, maybe to the mall, maybe to Shields, right? Lots of places, huh? If I wanted to get some flowers or a plant, where would I maybe go? What business?
A flower potting shop.
Yeah, there's right down the street down there, there's a place called Carousel, right? And so I could go to a flower place, right? If I wanted a Happy Meal, what business would I go to?
McDonald's.
You see? There's lots of businesses, right? And sometimes the businesses are there just to make money, and sometimes the businesses are there so that they can take care of people. Did you know that God is operating a business? Did you know that? Yeah, God has a business. You know what God's business is? Salvation. Saving people. That's a pretty cool business, isn't it? God's whole business is saving people. He does it by sending Jesus into the world where Jesus dies on the cross, and then we get baptized into the love of Jesus and we become part of God's business. So he says, I got some work for you to do, right? We're like in God's business all the time. And what do you think God wants us to do? Do you think God wants us just to make money for ourselves? Do you think God wants us just to take care of ourselves? No. What do you think God wants us to do if we're in his business? And if his business is loving people and saving people, what would be our business? If God's business is loving people and saving people, and God says, okay, I want you to be in my business, then what would be our business? Loving people and telling them about Jesus who saves people. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. I'll say a couple words and you repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thanks for giving me your business. Help me to be faithful in all that I say and do. Help me to share your love with others. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Allergies. Not part of my sermon, but it's how, you know, the devil likes to make life a little bit more uncomfortable. You get all this drainage down the back of your throat. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Nasty stuff. It's because harvest time, you know, it's usually August, but now that we've got August and September and everything happening, right? Anyway, if I got some sniffles and stuff, it's not contagious, okay? Unless you want to get allergies, okay? I could maybe share them with you. Tonight, I want you to think about the meaning of the parable that we find in Luke chapter 16. And the reason I want you to think deeply about this parable, the gospel reading for tonight, is because it's addressed to the Pharisees who were lovers of money. Not my words, Jesus' words. I want you to think deeply about this because Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but it's in the earshot of the Pharisees, the good religious folks, which means that there's a word there for them as well as for us who are the disciples. In the parable, we hear these words. The master commended his manager for being more shrewd than the children of light. He commended him not for being dishonest, not for stealing or cooking the books, but he commended him for being shrewd, which means being creative or crafty or somebody who could even be a bit conniving. Now, scholars have said that this is a difficult parable to interpret. In fact, out of all the parables of Jesus in the New Testament, scholars say that this is the hardest one to figure out what the message is. And pastors kind of avoid preaching on this parable like the plague because they can't quite figure out what's happening. But I want to suggest that the message is really quite simple. In a nugget, where does God fit in? Where does God fit in? The punchline comes when Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Did you catch that? Did it bite a little bit? I mean, a lot of churches in the fall, they deal with stewardship. We just deal with God's word, which of course talks a lot about stewardship. You know that Jesus talked about money and possessions more than anything else in the New Testament except for the kingdom of God. But back to our parable. Because Jesus says the punchline of where does God fit in? Good question is this. You cannot love God and money. Oh, sure I can. Let me show you. It's easy. No, Jesus says you can't. Because you'll be devoted to one and despise the other, or you'll love one and hate the other. It's an either-or thing. So where does God fit in? In this parable, in the Gospel of Luke, which is Luke Acts, a worshiping gospel and history of the church, right? Where does God fit in? Where does God fit into our lives? I mean, is he for us an afterthought? Or is he the main thing? Is Jesus like icing on the carefully crafted cake, you know, dessert? Or is he the main course? Where does God fit in? Is he behind the wheel? Or do we throw him in the trunk with a spare tire, even if it's one of those inflatable kinds? Where does God fit in? Do we order our lives around God? Or do we order God around our lives? Think about that. You cannot love God and money. That's the punchline. But the question of this parable, the question that Jesus is putting right there into our hearts is, where does God fit in? You've maybe heard the story about Ole and Sven. I mean, they were into business practices, and a friend made them a proposition and said, have I got a deal for you guys? I got way too many potatoes, and so I'll sell you a whole bunch of bags of potatoes for $5 a bag. And then you can go and sell them, because I don't have time. I don't want them to rot. And so Ole and Sven, they looked at each other and they said, this is a really good deal. So here's what happens. They go out and rent a truck. They fill it with gas, and they fill it with $5 bags of potatoes. And in the course of a week, going around the country, they're able to sell every bit of these potatoes. And then, you know, because Ole does the math, he's keeping the books. He puts in the income and the expenses, and he says, Sven, we got a problem. You know, we bought those potatoes, $5 a bag. We sold them for $5 a bag. We rented a truck. We put gas in the truck, and we didn't make any money. We lost money. And Sven, he says, oofta. You know, next year we're going to have to buy a larger truck. Now, when it comes to our parable for tonight, and when it comes to where does God fit in, I am afraid that sometimes, in some churches, in the lives of some of God's people, we are ordering God around our lives rather than our lives around God. I'm afraid that we think the solution to everything, as far as why we're losing money, is just to get a bigger truck. In the parable for tonight, we hear these words. The sons and daughters of this age, the people of this world, are more shrewd in dealing with their generation than are the children of light. Now, we're not in the business of selling potatoes. We are in God's business, and God has invited us into his business, the business of people getting saved, the lost getting found, the dead being made alive again. We are in the business of distributing the love and mercy of Jesus, the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the holiness of God. This is what God has invited us to do business. God is, as we say in this world, giving us the business and not just the proverbial runaround. Here's something that as I lived with the text and as the text kind of came into me this week, I started thinking about Luke 15. And I thought, you know, I think that the reason Luke chapter 16 is so difficult for people to understand, preach, etc., is because they kind of, you know, we just read a lectionary text, we separate it, Luke 15, oh yeah, I know that one, the lost, I know that story, the lost lamb, the lost coin, the lost son or sons, right? We know that. And we know that it was addressed to the Pharisees, whom we find out today were lovers of money, who have a bone of contention to pick because Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And that, my friends, is bad for business. If you're in the business of just perpetuating your own religious institution, that's going to be bad business. Now, I really believe, and I came across another scholar yesterday who said, oh, you've got to understand chapter 16 in light of chapter 15. I thought, good, now I've at least got one other person, right, that is kind of walking beside me. But really think about it. Chapter 15 is all about the angels rejoicing when a sinner repents, when the lost is found, when the unsaved is saved, when the dead is made alive. So then suddenly, the Pharisees were lovers of money, and Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Suddenly, it's like the light bulb goes on. We go, oh, this story about what are we doing when God has put on loan everything we have. I mean, our health, our lives, our age, young, middle age, old, our houses, our clothing, our shoes, our glasses, the job we have, the car we drive, the opportunities that God presents us with. Ah, wow. What are we doing with it all? Are we using it for the business of the Lord? For the lost to be found, for the unsaved to be saved, or are we using it for ourselves or to perpetuate our own little kingdoms? It's something worth thinking about if, in fact, Jesus is asking us in our gospel for tonight, where does God fit in? You see? Where does God fit in? Let me tell you what happened as I flew home from St. Louis to Minneapolis. It was on Southwest, and the plane was pretty full. I got an early enough number that I got an aisle seat, which was great. And then as the later ones were coming, getting on board, here was a young man. I found out he's 26 tomorrow. His name is Kenneth, by the way. I promised to pray for him on his birthday. So ask me tomorrow. Call me up, whatever. Are you praying for Kenneth today? Because I'm praying for Kenneth. Kenneth Thompson, 26 years old tomorrow, coming up to Minnesota from Atlanta in through St. Louis to see some friends. Now, I'm reading a book about the conversion of Rosario Butterfield. Some of you know that name. And so that's what I plan on doing for the hour and a half of my flight. But I'm just opening a page of it, and he starts talking to me. And he's a young kid, right? And I find out his name, and I find out his age, and it's really hard for me to hear with my hearing impairment on the plane. You know what ended up happening? I planned on, nobody wants to visit with an old guy on the plane, right, that has a hearing impairment who has to keep saying, what did you say? Uh-huh, right? And it's really hard when they're right beside you like this because you're kind of turning like that. You know, you're trying really hard to hear. And he asked me, so what kind of business you in? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, he said, really? Never did he tell me that he went to church or that he was a believer. He told me that when he was it 8 years old or in eighth grade? One of the two, that he lost his dad. I said, well, I lost my father when I was 20. And we visited about that. He was raised by a single mother. And he said, we got talking about a lot of things. I mean, it's just amazing. I kept thinking, every time there was a pause, I'd kind of grab my book and open the page again because I figured he's going to want to disengage. Nobody wants to spend an hour and a half talking to somebody, right? My plane was an hour late taking off. So I spent that hour in the Word working on the text and the sermon prep and stuff, right? Do you not think that God has an amazing sense of humor? Because I'm saying, oh, there's a relationship between chapter 15 and 16. If God cares dearly, lost people matter to God. The angels rejoice. Do we?
Do the lost matter to us? And then I think about all these resources that God has placed in our hands, and we think it's all about money. But it's not just about money. It's about the house we have, right? It's about everything that God has placed into our hand so that we can be managers, stewards of something that doesn't belong to us. Will we be honest or will we be dishonest? Now, I don't know what will happen. I gave this young man my card. I said, you know, if you're ever in Rochester, I said, we got a guest room. I invited somebody, right? Right? Anyway, I told him that. Who knows? Maybe by then we'll have our hospitality house. I'll say, hey, we got 4 bedrooms. Which one do you want? You never know, right? But and I don't know if he'll contact me or not. I only have his name. I can only pray for him. But I can pray that if he doesn't know Jesus, that he will know Jesus. You see, that's what our gospel lesson is about. Where does God fit in? I'm on a couple of days of continuing ed. I'm on a plane trip. I got things to, right? I got a sermon to prepare for Saturday night, for crying out loud. Why in the world does God open a door, this 26-year-old stranger, right? African-American, he wants to spend an hour talking to me? And I mean, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about cohabitation. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, serious stuff that's in the Bible, right? As the Lord just kept opening this little crack wider and wider. Where does God fit in? Do we order God around our lives? Or do we order our lives around God? There's opportunities. My wife says to me, you got to see this. Somebody wrote a letter to the editor. One of our members. Yeah. There's opportunities all the time. Seriously. We can complain about what happens to the unborn or to the little ones in the womb, right? Or we can take action and we can pray. I mean, there's the 40 days of life. I mean, there's lots of things. You can say, Pastor, count me in. I want to go to that dinner. I want to go to that gala, right? I mean, there's lots of ways if we remember. And I was forgetting on that plane. Because I can tell you at least a dozen times I grabbed my book again and started to open it, and then he asked another question. I mean, God was relentless. He said, Dave, you know that every single moment of your life belongs to me? Do you know that, David? Do you know that every single moment of your life, it's not like, well, I put in my 40 hours a week working for Jesus, and then the rest of the time is mine? God spoke to me about our scripture lesson for tonight. You can't serve God and money, and neither can I. You see, this parable is so simple, and yet we make it so complex, don't we? But what do you think Jesus was really saying? I mean, was this rich man, was he a good man or a bad man? Was the manager just trying to level the playing field, you know, because the rich were taking advantage of the poor? I mean, was it just a social justice text? There's all kinds of ways that people will play with the scripture lesson. But it's a lot better if we let the scripture have its way with us. Recently, my wife and I, we went to the Hy-Vee grocery store. I had a rain check for some bottled juice. Really good deal, like 77 cents a bottle, regularly like $2.49, right? But they gave me a rain check. It was good for a month. And so we're going there, and we're picking up some ice cream for National Night Out. It was on sale for $4.99 for the ice cream bucket, right? Good deal. So we pick up some ice cream, and we pick up like 6 or 8 of those things of juice because they'll keep on my shelf as well as the shelf at the store. We check the expiration date. And we get up there, and we check out the stuff we've gotten. And then here's what happens. We're walking out. They had to have the manager come because whenever you have a rain check, they have to kind of plug in a code and then they pull their calculator out. I don't know if it's happened to you. I do rain checks. And so they got to figure out what the savings is, and then they decrease it from your bill. And so it was about $15. And we're walking out, and Julie goes, I don't think that's right. I said, what do you mean? I wasn't paying attention, right? I mean, I just gave him the credit card. And she said, well, we got the 4 buckets of ice cream, $4.99. That means that it should have been like $20, and we only paid $15, and that's not counting the juice and stuff. I go, yeah. So I looked at the receipt, and you know what I found out? The manager working with the cashier, they gave us a double blessing. In other words, they gave us the sale prices plus the rain check discount. And so, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you have a wonderful wife in your life who keeps you honest. Because I've got a business major from college, and it's really easy for me to kind of split hairs. I can split hairs and say, their mistake, my benefit? Well, that's what happens. Just count your lucky stars. Or if it's their mistake and it's against me, I want them to pay me back, right? But if it's their mistake, oh no, I don't want to have to pay them more. But when you are blessed, where you have a wife with you, so that the Lord can kind of surround you with your conscience. And so I said, yeah, I better go over there. I go over to the counter. There's the manager who assisted the cashier, right? Well, he looks at it. I explained to him. I said, I think we owe you some money. I think that there's a mistake here. He looks at it and he says, ha, you're right. Imagine that. We gave you a double discount on the stuff. Wow. You got a really good deal. I said, well, I've got my credit card here so we can straighten this out. He said, no. He said, that was our mistake. And then he looked at me and he said, you have a good day, and I hope that you'll come back and continue to do business here. You see what's going on? Some people are in the business of money, profit, right? The dollar, the almighty dollar. Other people, they're in the people business. So what do you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who dies for all the people of the world that God so much loves on the cross to save us from our sins? It's a costly business for Christ and for those who follow in his steps, no doubt about it. But if we remember that everything we have doesn't belong to us anyway. I mean, not our money, not our property, not our possessions, not our time, not even our opportunities when we're on an airplane. It all belongs to God. And it's his business. And he invites us to be participants in it. So what do you think? Where does God fit in? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.